You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Yesterday, Mr. Abernathy, one of the advisory counsel, said he would be late today because he had a childcare issue, but that Ms. Hicks, the other advisory counsel, would be here and ready to start at 9:30. What time did that email come in?
Judge, the email came in at 9:20, but she was printing off pictures.
All right, so we got an email at 9:20 saying she's still at her office printing off pictures, which is wholly unacceptable. Ms. Daybell, you represent yourself. You do not need your advisory counsel here, but I'm going to split the difference. She's being sent an email that says if she's not here at 9:50, we're going to start. If there's pictures that need to be printed off, someone, a staff can do that. Staff can bring it over later, but she should have been here at 9:30. If this were federal court, she'd probably be going into custody. I mean, this is ridiculous. All right, I'm just letting everyone know what the holdup is. We're going to start at 9:50.
Judge, at 9:50, I do need to make a record regarding character evidence and the defendant opening the door before she questions some witnesses.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that that's out there so she's aware of that.
We'll do that at 9:50. Do you want to stay out here or go back?
It's opening. She spoke about that she was a person who loved all people, that she has no malice towards people, and then she also spoke about Brandon hiring a private investigator. I want to start with the fact that the defendant is appearing to try to bring in 404 character evidence about herself. Rule 404A does not allow the defendant to bring in character evidence to prove action in conformity, which is clearly what she was doing. Assuming she does, then the rules would permit the state to then bring in specific act evidence of this defendant. The defendant is trying to say she is a peaceful person, she has no malice. I believe that will open the door to allow the state to bring in the fact that she is a four-time convicted murderer. Next, the defendant, in terms of bringing up information about Brandon hiring a PI and trying to make it appear that he has some vendetta against her, we had worked very hard to try to say there is an incident in Chandler. Brandon Boudreau was very aware of the fact that this defendant and her brother had shot and killed Charles Vallow. And this is why he was very afraid for his life and trying to realize where she was and where Alex was. So if she wants to go into all of that information, then again, I believe she will be opening the door to allow Brandon to then explain why he was in so much fear for his life, why he was hiring a private investigator to locate this defendant and locate Alex Cox. So I just want to make it very clear that should she go into those areas, I will be asking to then bring in the fact that she has been involved in the murder of Charles Vallow, her own children, and her current husband's wife.
All right.
And so, I believe 405 will permit that, Your Honor.
So I had literally the same thoughts during her opening statement, especially when she started talking about I'm a person with good intent, kindness, peace and love, etc. And I was thinking in my head, wow, she's opening a big door right here. Now, it's not witness testimony. The jury has been instructed specifically that that's not evidence or testimony. But I think the notice that the state is putting out right now is well taken, because if you elicit testimony through a witness or you testify yourself along those lines, there's several doors that would be opened in that instance. Do you understand that?
I understand what you're saying, Your Honor.
Okay. The schedule.
I also understand that the state also withdrew their 404B, that they had no intention of doing that. So
that doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm just saying they did give a notice for 404B, and then they did withdraw it. So they didn't have any intention. I didn't have any intention.
The issue is if you bring in your good character as a reason of why this didn't happen, they're going to be allowed to rebut that type of testimony because you've opened the door to it. The schedule for today, I'd like to finish the witness that was on the stand yesterday, if he could come up.
And then, Judge, just for scheduling, I have one civilian witness who only had a Ring camera. She is very fast. I would like to, after Detective Ferrer is done, put her on quickly before we recall Brandon, just okay. So she isn't waiting around.
All right, so it'll be the witness from yesterday. We'll conclude with him. The defendant was in the middle of her cross on him. We'll do that civilian witness. At some point in the morning, we'll take a short break for the court reporter in about an hour. And then we'll recall Mr. Boudreaux to complete your cross or start and complete your cross. All right? Are they lined up? Go ahead and line them up.
And if I can go get the witness to bring them
in. Go ahead.
Please rise from the jury.
All right, welcome back. Please be seated. Thank you for your patience. All right, the defense can continue with its cross of this witness.
Detective Ferrer, yesterday we were talking about you collected the evidence. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So what all evidence did you collect yourself?
The projectiles from a bullet.
Is there any other evidence that you collected?
At the scene or?
Yes, at the scene.
Yes, just the projectile.
Okay. And then... was there a cigarette collected at the scene? Is that correct?
I don't recall that.
Okay.
I did not impound that.
You never saw it?
I don't recall it.
Okay. And you had collected the items that were in the Ford F-150, is that correct?
Yes.
And you collected the earplugs that were in the truck?
Yes.
And you stated that those were common among people who frequent a shooting range, is that correct?
Yes.
And during the course of your investigation, did you learn that Alex Cox frequently visited shooting ranges?
No.
Okay. You mentioned that you remembered Alex Cox's vehicle license plate because it was personalized, is that correct?
That is correct.
And then course of your investigation, did you discover what his license plate stood for?
No.
Okay. Or what it was a reference to?
I do not know.
Okay. Did you learn in the course of your investigation that Alex did stand-up comedy?
No.
Okay. We talked about the hole in the Tesla, is that correct?
Yes.
And you said it was consistent with a bullet hole, is that correct?
Yes.
And so that could be a bullet from A rifle or a handgun?
Yes.
Okay. So either one?
Either one.
And those fragments weren't tested to find out if that was from a bullet or, I mean, the bullet was from a rifle or a handgun?
I did not send it for testing.
Okay. You also said that you were the one that canvassed the neighborhood for videos?
One of many.
Okay. But in your report, you said that at 3854 Phelps, that the individual had heard a loud bang, but did not investigate it, said it didn't sound like a gunshot. Is that correct?
Can I object to hearsay?
Sustained.
And you had stated that you did collect the fragments, is that correct?
Objection asked and answered.
But the majority of the bullet was never located, is that correct?
Let me rule on the objection. It's sustained. Next question.
And the majority of the bullet was never located, is that correct?
We had a projectile. That's what we found, just pieces of it.
Okay.
Fragments.
And you had put in your report that you believed it had fallen out during when the victim drove away?
It's possibility. There's a lot of possibilities.
So my question is, how would it have fallen out? How could you explain it falling out? Could you explain that to me?
It depends where the bullet hole or the projectile goes into a vehicle. There's several, a vehicle is not sealed. All sealed up, so there's not ever breathing or anything like that. So there's holes in it, and there's ways that, let's say like venting and that type of stuff for a vehicle. So when a vehicle is in motion, it moves. Right? It rocks, goes over bumps. That's why they have shock absorbers. So anything that's on top, it's just like when you accidentally leave your coffee on top of your vehicle and you drive off. It's a good chance it's going to fall off. And it's the same as a projectile on a vehicle also.
Okay. So how far down were the fragments that you found into the hole that was made in the Tesla?
It was located by another detective, but it was easy enough for us to retrieve.
So like it,
inside
the hole somewhere?
Yes.
But just so I understand, the bullet breaks apart, is that correct?
Yes.
And so maybe the majority fell out and those pieces were left inside?
Yeah, I wouldn't know how much of the bullet was taken apart or how much damage that bullet or projectile would have had.
Okay. But some of the pieces could be in there and the majority of it could fall out?
That's a theory, yes.
And it wouldn't be wedged in?
We didn't locate anything that was wedged in.
But that could have been due to just driving around the block because, like you said, the car jostles.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
If the car had not been in motion, then the bullet should have been intact. Is that correct?
No. When a bullet hits, it depends on the type of bullet, frangible or non, the make, the model. If it hits a solid object, bullets have different properties. So some will break apart a little easier than others. Some will go right through. It just depends on the make and the model of the bullets.
Okay. So no testing was done on this bullet to find out what kind of bullet it was?
The projectile.
Correct. I mean, no.
I did not send it for testing.
Okay. Is that something that could be found out?
What do you mean?
What kind of bullet it was from the fragments?
I believe there's a test that possibly does it.
Okay. And you didn't think that was necessary?
I was not the case detective on this.
Okay. So since those bullet fragments were not tested in any way, the markings on there that you had testified to yesterday that were copper were part of the jacket, is that correct?
The coloring?
Yes.
The color, yes.
So that's just from a visual, that's not from any kind of testing of the copper, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so just looking at
it. It's the color.
Okay, that color, copper color, could have been from the Tesla itself?
I didn't see any copper coloring on the outside of that Tesla. It was white in color.
Okay. And then when you said you canvassed the neighborhood, or the Gilbert Police Department canvassed the neighborhood, there was no camera coverage to your knowledge. Is that correct?
People I talked to did not have any. I believe there was camera footage found by other detectives or officers, yes.
Oh, there was?
Possibly, yes.
But you did not discover any?
No.
And you have never seen any?
No.
Okay. And have you been working on this case this whole time, or what was your involvement as far as from October 2nd to when you worked on this case?
The original call out I was part of, and then I was requested to execute the search warrant on the Ford F-150. And that was December 23rd.
And that kind of ended your...
Yes.
...dealings with this case?
Yes.
Okay. So all of the reports that you had written were in between that time frame?
Yes.
Okay. No more questions, Your Honor.
All right, redirect.
Detective, I'm going to start with sort of where we were just ending and go back to some issues from yesterday. In this Tesla, did you note damage to the molding where the window would have gone up into the frame of the Tesla?
Yes.
Can I have the Elmo, please? Thank you. So we're looking here at Exhibit 39. So would it be fair to say that there's not a great seal anymore between where the window went up into the frame and the car itself?
That is correct.
And did you also view the glass itself?
Yes.
That was laying on the driveway?
Yes.
And did you also, Exhibit 46, note that little notch or divot in the glass itself?
Yes.
And was that sort of consistent with the location of where the window would have gone up into the frame of the vehicle?
That is correct.
So when you're talking about a seal of a window going up into the frame, does the fact that the molding was broken and that there's a divot in the glass and the glass was completely shattered impact whether or not all those fragments or pieces of that projectile might remain inside the Tesla?
There's a good chance they would fall out of the Tesla.
Because the seal is no longer the same as it once was, right?
Correct.
You were asked yesterday about the length of the bullet hole or the size of this bullet hole. Do you recall that?
Yes.
When you're talking about the A here, were you trying to measure from not just the damage of where the bullet started to impact or cause that concaveness in the frame, but just the actual hole itself?
Yes.
Does that still tell you the size of the bullet?
No.
That's just the damage that it caused as it entered into the frame of this Tesla?
That is correct.
You were asked yesterday about casings and fragments, and can we explain what a casing is, what a projectile is, and what fragments are?
Sure. A casing is what the bullet is contained in. That's where the black powder and the actual bullet itself is attached to. A casing is usually discarded after the bullet is fired out of the gun. And it's usually, it could be caught, it depends on what kind of weapon there is. Revolvers actually keep the casings in as a circle. Rifles are known to, could keep the casing inside until you eject it yourself. The semi-automatic weapons which police use and which are more common, they have a semi-action, it will eject the casing out. The casing just holds the bullet. Once the bullet is fired from the gun, it comes out very, very hot. We're trying to explain is when it hits a certain item, it just depends on the integrity of the bullet itself. How strong is that bullet? Is it going to be strong enough to go through metal? Usually not. And so once it hits an item, it is compromised. The bullet is compromised and it makes fragments. It falls apart. And that's where the fragments come from, and that's what we found in this Tesla, with just fragments of the actual bullet.
Okay, so when we're talking about the fragments that you recovered, those pieces of the projectile after it broke apart and after it had first gone through or into the Tesla frame, this metal, and then broke apart, that's what you're talking about when you talked about the fragments that you recovered?
That is correct.
Now, the defendant asked you about casings and if you found any at the scene. Do you recall that line of questioning?
I do remember that.
If you were advised that the person firing the rifle was lying in wait inside of the back of a Jeep, that only part of the barrel of that rifle came out the rear window, and then the rifle was fired, where would you expect that casing to land?
More than likely, it would still be inside that vehicle, the Jeep.
Okay, so you would not expect it to fly forward out of the Jeep and land out on the ground?
No.
The defendant asked you about if you saw a casing over by the pool. Would you expect, absent, I guess, a hole in the floor of the Jeep, to find the casing over there if it was still in the Jeep?
No.
So
I never found the casing next to a pool.
But you wouldn't expect to find a casing over there, right?
No.
There was no evidence of anyone shooting over there.
Right.
And there would be no reason for a casing to be over there.
Correct.
So in this case, given the information you were given, were you surprised that you didn't find a casing?
No. It doesn't mean we don't look for the casing. We automatically look for the casings. But since it was inside of a vehicle, it's just like a drive-by shooting type of thing. We'll say once we pull the car over, the casings will be inside that vehicle, most likely. Then one or two might pop out if they have their gun outside the window. You know, something like that, the casing might. But usually we search, there was no casing found in this. So we determined it was most likely, more likely than not, inside that vehicle still.
And the casing was in the windowsill? Sorry.
Yeah, the casing was more likely than not inside that vehicle still.
Like the Jeep still.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have no other questions for this witness, Your Honor.
Are there any questions from the jury? I don't see any. Sir, you can step down. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
If I may go get the next witness.
Go ahead. All right, ma'am, come on up here. You're going to stand right here in front of my clerk and be sworn in.
Hello. Can you please state and spell your first and last name?
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yeah, go ahead and have a seat right here. You'll scoot into that microphone there.
Please introduce yourself to the jury.
My name is Lena.
And what's your last name?
Mendoza.
Thank you. Do you currently live here in Arizona?
I do.
Back on October 2nd of 2019, where did you live?
In Gilbert.
And what was your address back then?
3893 East Fairview Street.
And how long did you live at that location?
In total, 6 years.
Okay. I'll show you. I can have my paralegal approach with exhibit 2. I want you to look at exhibit 2, a map. Does that show sort of the area of your neighborhood as well as where your house would have been located back in October 2nd of 2019?
Yes.
State will move to admit Exhibit 2.
Any objection?
No objection.
2 is admitted.
Thank you. Okay. So you told us your address was 3893 East Fairview Street?
Yes.
We see Fairview here on Exhibit 2. Approximately where was your residence on this map?
It is the house on the very corner.
Is it the corner of Fisher and Fairview? Or which corner are we talking about?
It's been a little while. I'm sorry.
There's a map right in front of
you. Oh, sorry. I'm trying to think. Wrecker.
This is Fairview.
Right. So it's either Fisher or Cole. I can't remember which street corner. So there's a park, and it's right on the corner.
Okay.
Fry, Wrecker, turn in. Morelos around to Fairview.
Let me put up 3. Is this the park you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So right on the corner here?
Oh, Phillips. Yes, right there on the corner.
Okay. So you're
right there. Yes,
right here.
Okay. Yes, that's the house.
Back in on October 2nd of 2019, did you have a Ring doorbell?
Yes.
Did your front door sort of face out towards Fairview Street?
Yes.
And do you recall sort of where your Ring doorbell was located?
Yes.
Where was it?
So from the front door, it sat off to the left-hand side if I was in the home at the front, and it faced out towards that street.
Did it sometimes get a little bit of this intersection here?
All the time, yes.
Okay. And was it sort of motion activated?
Yes.
Okay. So that means that when there was some sort of vehicle going by, it might activate it to start recording?
Yes.
Do you recall back on October 2nd, an officer coming around and asking you if you had a Ring system and to kind of look in the time range of 9:15-ish to see if you had any footage of vehicles going by?
I do.
Were you asked to email any recordings to the police department?
Yes.
And did you do that?
I did.
And, Your Honor, I've shown defense counsel or the defendant Exhibit 120, if I can have my paralegal show that to the witness. Did you recognize that as your residence?
Yes.
And your Ring video?
Yes.
And the footage that you sent to the police?
Yes.
And did it have both audio and video?
Yes.
State will move to admit Exhibit 120.
Any objection?
No objection.
120 is admitted.
If we can move forward. So the beginning, and if we could just show at the beginning we missed where. Had your when we had you had your Ring video, would it sometimes glitch and you'd see a vehicle like we saw in the beginning, a black vehicle?
Yes.
So in this video, you were asked, were you asked to look for vehicles and a sound of any shooting?
I remember being asked to look for a vehicle crossing in that time, and I saw that at the beginning of the vehicle you see, or the video you see the vehicle, and that was what I noticed first.
Okay. And then when you were watching it yourself, you heard a bang noise?
Correct.
And so given that, looking for the black vehicle and then you noticing the bang, that's what you sent to the police?
Yes.
And that's your home sort of looking out, as we said, of Fisher and Fairview.
Yes.
Thank you. State has no other questions for this witness.
Cross-examination.
No, Your Honor, no cross.
Any questions for this witness from the jury? Don't see any. Ma'am, you can step down. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, members of the jury, we took Mr. Boudreau's cross-examination out of order. We're now going to complete that, so I'm going to ask Mr. Boudreau to come back up. All right, sir, go ahead and have a seat on the witness stand. You're still under oath. I'll just remind you to try to speak into that microphone. All right, the defendant can start her cross-examination of this witness.
Robert Abernathy gets here. He has some photos and things I need to have marked. So can we stop for a minute when he gets here to do that?
Okay. Just have him go right up to the clerk when he gets here and get
him marked. Mr. Boudreau, you and I met in 2009, is that correct?
I believe we met in 2008.
Okay. Before you got married, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you got married in 2009. Is that correct?
I believe I was married October 31st, 2008.
Okay. But that's when we met. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
So we've known each other a long time. Is that correct?
A long time can mean a lot of different things.
Since 2008?
Correct.
Okay. And we had a familial connection, is that correct?
Yes.
And we always had a friendly relationship, you and I, is that correct?
I wouldn't say always.
Okay. Until what time?
Until probably end of 2018.
Okay. And we spent many holidays together.
We did.
And you and Melanie were married a little over 10 years, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I was there at your wedding, is that correct?
Correct.
And I came to Utah to help you when your first child was born, is that correct?
I'm going to object to relevance.
I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Correct.
And I was there when your second child was born. Is that correct?
You were not present when my child was born, but...
I came to help and watched Braxy, so I was there.
You visited with my... You were with my family, correct?
Okay. And I flew in from Hawaii when Blake was born to help with the kids, and I watched them while you and Melanie were at the hospital. Is that correct?
Object again to character evidence.
Sustain.
And I did watch the kids when Breezy was born as well. Is that correct?
I'm going to object and ask to go into 405 soon.
And we went on vacations together, you and I. Is that correct?
Ms. Vallow, okay. Move on to relevant information, okay? You've established you have a relationship with him that's close family relationship since 2008. So go ahead.
And you came to visit me in Hawaii a few times. Is that correct?
And, Your Honor, I'm going to object.
I'm just asking in the sense that it was him coming to me.
All right.
There's things that happened there that I'm going
approach,
to.
Approach.
Okay. Brendan, you and I had never had an argument with each other, is that correct?
That's not correct.
Okay, when did we ever have an argument, you and I?
I'm going to object to relevance. If there's something specific about that, are we talking in 10 years?
I'll overrule it. You can answer.
The most recent argument that I would say we have is when I was texting you in June.
That was June 25th, 2019. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And had you been upset with me before that time?
Are you talking about ever in our lives?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're all human. I'm sure there was times I was upset with you.
Is there something specific that you were upset with me about before the June 25th text messages?
I'm going to object to relevance if there's something more specific.
Sustain.
Were you upset with me about Juice Island?
I'm going to object as to relevance and 404.
Sustain.
Brandon, you had mentioned before that Melanie and I were close. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you were aware that I loved Melanie. Is that correct?
I can't say if you loved her or not.
But you saw that over the 10 years that you were married to her, right? You witnessed it with your own eyes.
What is it you're asking that I witnessed?
Me loving Melanie?
As I said, I can't state what you did or did not feel. I can't say what you felt.
But I acted in a way that was loving towards her, in as far as you knew.
I'm going to object again to relevance, 404 and 405 character evidence.
Sustain.
So you were frequently, we were all together as a family frequently, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And there were times when we were at your house as well as my house, is that correct?
An objection of relevance.
Sustained.
And until you sent me that text message on June 25th that we read yesterday, you and I had never had any disagreements with each other. Is that correct?
I would not agree with that statement.
You and I had ever had an argument?
Can you ask that question again?
Did you and I ever have an argument?
And again, as to foundation of when?
I'll allow him to answer. You can answer.
I'm sure we had, I don't know how you would define argument, but disagreements.
Face to face, you and I? Before the June 25th.
Hold on.
That's all I'm asking. Just before
okay,
that.
Maybe rephrase it.
So by the time we met in 2008 until June 25th, 2019, did you and I ever have an argument?
Is there something you're looking for that you're trying to specify? And I'm not sure I can. That's a broad question that I can't think of a specific time where we argued face to face, if that's what you're looking for.
Correct. So you and I have never had an argument lifetimes.
I wouldn't agree with that. I would say that there have for sure been disagreements between us, but I can't think of a specific time that I could share where me and you face to face argued. I'm not a confrontational person.
Okay. You've known me for all these years. Am I a confrontational person?
I'm going to object to character evidence under 404 and 405.
Sustained.
Would you agree that I supported you as a husband and a father to your children?
I'm going to object to relevance.
Sustain.
So in your testimony yesterday, you talked about this long argument that you had with Melanie. Was that on the same day on June 25th, 2019?
It was.
Okay. And you said it was a long argument. How long did that go on?
It started in the afternoon, and it went through past midnight.
So several hours?
Yes.
And you remember this date because that was the day you sent me those text messages, is that correct?
I wouldn't say that's the only reason I remember that date. It's a painful date.
Okay. So you remember that date specifically?
Yeah, I do remember that day.
Okay. And you had mentioned that this argument started as a result of Melanie not wanting to attend your grandfather's funeral, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you were aware that Melanie had trauma with all funerals because her mother passed away when she was 9, is that correct?
Object to relevance.
I'll overrule the objection. He can answer if he knows the answer.
I can't say why Melanie was feeling the way she was feeling. I'm not Melanie.
But you know she had an issue with funerals before your grandfather passed away.
As I said, I'm not Melanie. I can't say what she had an issue with or not.
But you're aware that her mother passed away when she was 9, right?
Yes, I'm aware her mother passed away.
And that she had to go to the funeral.
I mean, object to relevance.
I'll sustain it at this point. Go ahead. Next question.
But she's your wife of 10 years, so you knew that about her. Is that correct?
And again, I'm going to object to relevance. The same question.
It's completely understandable that you would want your wife at your side at your grandfather's funeral, so a disagreement between a couple would begin over that issue. That's not far-fetched, right?
That's a statement. Can you, if you want to phrase it as a question, go ahead.
So your argument began because of this issue with not wanting to go to your grandfather's funeral. Is that correct?
Yes.
And was Melanie upset or crying at that point?
No, just me.
Okay. So during this long, several-hour disagreement, you would have covered a myriad of topics. Is that correct?
Can you define a myriad of topics?
Just several different things probably came up during this very long argument.
We talked about several different things, yes.
Okay. And one of those things I had come up in the conversation, is that correct?
One of the things that came up was you getting your temple recommended and me hacking your computer.
So I'm saying I was brought up in that long conversation just the one time?
I don't know if I could say just the one time. It was quite a long time we spent on that particular topic, which was bothersome.
Okay. So as you were trying to change the subject, Melanie was going back to that?
As I was trying to understand why it was important to her, she focused very much on the subject, yes.
Okay. And you had stated before that Melanie saw me as a mother to her, is that correct?
I said a mother-like figure.
Right. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that your mother-in-law would be brought into a very long argument. Is that correct?
Objection, speculation, relevance.
Or someone close to your wife.
Sustained.
But I was not the focus of that entire argument. Is that correct?
My focus was my family, my wife and my children. I love them and I didn't want them to go through pain.
Is that what you spent all those hours arguing?
Yeah, because I love them and I wanted to work through things with my wife, yes. I didn't spend it for any other reason.
And during this argument, there were several issues that you discussed, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And one of those issues was Melanie informing you of text messages that she had viewed?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. is one of those issues a video of you on Facebook dancing at the pink pony that Melanie showed you?
Object to relevance to 404B evidence and 403.
Sustained.
Did Melanie show you a video of yourself during that
to the same argument? Manner.
Sustained.
What else was discussed in this argument?
Objection, relevance, foundation, something specific?
I'll sustain the objection.
How many topics would you say were gone over during this long interview, long argument?
I couldn't say.
So until, did I ever answer the text messages that you sent to me?
I never received a reply.
Were you at that point blaming me for that argument in your mind?
I think that the only people who can be responsible for ourselves is ourselves, so I was focused on myself and my wife.
Okay. So that argument ended up beginning your divorce proceedings, is that correct?
At the end of that argument, she told me that she needed a divorce, correct?
And who filed for divorce?
I did.
And when was that?
In July.
Do you know the date that you filed?
It's complicated because I went and met with a mediator, but she didn't file the paperwork for a while. So I guess it depends on how you define who filed for it and when.
Okay. Did you file it with the court? Like file for divorce with the court?
A mediator did.
Okay. Oh, so you don't know when she actually put the paperwork in. Is that correct?
Correct.
When did you meet with her? Do you remember that?
I do.
What day was that?
In July.
But you don't remember which day in July?
We met several times.
Okay. Did you meet with her on your own, or did you and Melanie just meet with her together?
We met with her together.
Every time?
Yes, every time we went together.
Okay. And that started in July?
Correct.
And do you know when that was final?
Mid-October.
And you were able to come to mutual agreements during that time with the mediator?
Can you give me more? What are you looking for specifically on that?
I'm just saying the mediation was completed, so you came to your agreements. Is that correct?
We filed for divorce, so yes.
Okay. So when was it that Melanie moved into the rental house from the house that you were living together in?
I believe I moved her on July 14th, I believe. I'm not certain.
And then you stayed in the house until what date?
Until my home sold.
When was that?
We got it under contract in September, beginning of September, and closing was October 1st.
Okay. And when did you move into your rental house? What day was that?
Mid-September to late September. It might have been in the 25th, 24th, 26th, somewhere in there.
And then you had schedule with the children, is that correct?
Can you ask that question?
I'm just saying you had agreed to a schedule with the children, is that correct?
Part of our divorce, we had a schedule, yes.
And so on October 2nd, all four children were with you, is that correct?
It depends on what time you're speaking about.
Well, they spent the night with you, so they would have woke up with you on October 2nd, is that correct?
On October 2nd night, they slept with their mom. On October 1st night, they slept with me.
Okay. That night turned into October 2nd, is that correct?
If you're saying October 2nd in the morning, then yes. Yes, that would be, my kids would have still been at my house in the morning.
Yes, okay. And then you had taken them to school, is that correct, in the morning?
Correct.
You said that you guys got up, you had food, you were getting ready.
Yes.
Normal, typical morning, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then you dropped off your two oldest at their elementary school, is that correct?
Correct.
And then you took Breeze to her mom and dropped her off at the park, is that correct?
Correct.
And then you took Blake to his preschool and dropped him off, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then where did you go from there?
Yesterday, Mr. Abernathy, one of the advisory councils, said he would be late today because he had a childcare issue, but that Ms. Hicks, the other advisory council, would be here and ready to start at 9:30. What time did that email come in? All right, so we got an email at 9:20 saying she's still at her office printing off pictures, which is wholly unacceptable. Ms. Daybell, you represent yourself. You do not need your advisory counsel here, but I'm going to split the difference. She's being sent an email that says if she's not here at 9:50, we're going to start. If there's pictures that need to be printed off, someone, a staff can do that. Staff can bring it over later, but she should have been here at 9:30. If this were federal court, she'd probably be going into custody. I mean, this is ridiculous. All right, I'm just letting everyone know what the holdup is. We're going to start at 9:50.
Judge, at 9:50, I do need to make a record regarding character evidence and the defendant opening the door before she questions some witnesses.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that that's out there so she's aware of that.
We'll do that at 9:50. Do you want to stay out here or go back? Oh. Yesterday, Mr. Abernathy, one of the advisory councils, said he would be late today because he had a childcare issue, but that Ms. Hicks, the other advisory council, would be here and ready to start at 9:30. What time did that email come in?
Just the email came in at 9:20 that she was printing off pictures.
All right, so we got an email at 9:20 saying she's still at her office printing off pictures, which is wholly unacceptable. Ms. Daybell, you represent yourself. You do not need your advisory counsel here, but I'm going to split the difference. She's being sent an email that says if she's not here at 9:50, we're going to start. If there's pictures that need to be printed off, someone, a staff can do that. Staff can bring it over later, but she should have been here at 9:30. If this were federal court, she'd probably be going into custody. I mean, this is ridiculous. All right, I'm just letting everyone know what the holdup is. We're going to start at 9:50.
Judge, at 9:50, I do need to make a record regarding character evidence and the defendant opening the door before she questions some witnesses.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that that's out there so she's aware of that.
We'll do that at 9:50. Do you want to stay out here or go back?
Opening. She spoke about that she was a person who loved all people, that she has no malice towards people, and then she also spoke about Brandon hiring a private investigator. I want to start with the fact that the defendant is appearing to try to bring in 404 character evidence about herself. Rule 404A does not allow the defendant to bring in character evidence to prove action in conformity, which is clearly what she was doing. Assuming she does, then the rules would permit the state to then bring in specific act evidence of this defendant. The defendant is trying to say she is a peaceful person, she has no malice. I believe that will open the door to allow the state to bring in the fact that she is a four-time convicted murderer. Next, the defendant, in terms of bringing up information about Brandon hiring a PI and trying to make it appear that he has some vendetta against her, we had worked very hard to try to say there is an incident in Chandler. Brandon Boudreau was very aware of the fact that this defendant and her brother had shot and killed Charles Vallow. And this is why he was very afraid for his life and trying to realize where she was and where Alex was. So if she wants to go into all of that information, then again, I believe she will be opening the door to allow Brandon to then explain why he was in so much fear for his life, why he was hiring a private investigator to locate this defendant and locate Alex Cox. So I just want to make it very clear that should she go into those areas, I will be asking to then bring in the fact that she has been involved in the murder of Charles Vallow, her own children, and her current husband's wife.
All right.
And so, I believe 405 will permit that, Your Honor.
So I had literally the same thoughts when, and during her opening statement, especially when she started talking about I'm a person with good intent, kindness, peace and love, etc. And I was thinking in my head, wow, she's opening a big door right here. Now, it's not witness testimony. The jury has been instructed specifically that that's not evidence or testimony. But I think the notice that the state is putting out right now is well taken, because if you elicit testimony through a witness or you testify yourself along those lines, there's several doors that would be opened in that instance. Do you understand that?
I understand what you're saying, Your Honor.
Okay. The schedule.
I also understand that the state also withdrew their 404B, that they were had no intention of doing that. So
that doesn't mean you get to say whatever
you
want.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm just saying they did give a notice for 404B, and then they did withdraw it. So they didn't have any intention. I didn't have any intention.
The issue is, if you bring in your good character as a reason of why this didn't happen, they're going to be allowed to rebut that type of testimony because you've opened the door to it. The schedule for today, I'd like to finish the witness that was on the stand yesterday, if he could come up.
And then, Judge, just for scheduling, I have one civilian witness who only had a Ring camera. She is very fast. I would like to, after Detective Ferrer is done, put her on quickly before we recall Brandon, just okay, so she isn't waiting around.
All right, so it'll be the witness from yesterday. We'll conclude with him. The defendant was in the middle of her cross on him. We'll do that civilian witness. At some point in the morning, we'll take a short break for the court reporter in about an hour. And then we'll recall Mr. Boudreau to complete your cross, or start and complete your cross. All right? Are they lined up? Go ahead and line them up.
And if I can go get a witness to bring them in.
Second. Sir, go ahead and have a stand up here at the witness stand.
Go ahead. Please rise from the jury.
All right, welcome back. Please be seated. Thank you for your patience. All right, the defense can continue with its cross of this witness.
Okay, Detective Ferrer, yesterday we were talking about you collected the evidence, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so what all evidence did you collect yourself?
The projectiles from a bullet.
Is there any other evidence that you collected?
At the scene or?
Yes, at the scene.
Yes, just the projectile.
Okay. And then, was there a cigarette collected at the scene? Is that correct?
I don't recall that.
Okay.
I did not impound that.
You never saw it?
I don't recall it.
Okay. And you had collected the items that were in the Ford F-150, is that correct?
Yes.
And you collected the earplugs that were in the truck?
Yes.
And you stated that those were common among people who frequent a shooting range, is that correct?
Yes.
And during the course of your investigation, did you learn that Alex Cox frequently visited shooting ranges?
No.
Okay. You mentioned that you remembered Alex Cox's vehicle license plate because it was personalized, is that correct?
That is correct.
And then course of your investigation, did you discover what his license plate stood for?
No.
Okay. Or what it was a reference to?
I do not know.
Okay. Did you learn in the course of your investigation that Alex did stand-up comedy?
No.
Okay. We talked about the hole in the Tesla, is that correct?
Yes.
And you said it was consistent with a bullet hole, is that correct?
Yes.
And so that could be a bullet from a rifle or a handgun?
Yes.
Okay. So either one?
Either one.
And those fragments weren't tested to find out if that was from a bullet or, I mean, the bullet was from a rifle or a handgun?
I did not send it for testing.
Okay. You also said that you were the one that canvassed the neighborhood for videos?
One of many.
Okay. But in your report, you said that at 3854 Phelps, that the individual had heard a loud bang, but did not investigate it, said it didn't sound like a gunshot. Is that correct?
Can I object to hearsay?
Sustain.
And you had stated that you
You did collect the fragments, is that correct?
Objection asked and answered.
But the majority of the bullet was never located, is
Let
that correct?
Let me rule on the objection. It's sustained. Next question.
And the majority of the bullet was never located, is that correct?
We had a projectile. That's what we found, just pieces of it.
Okay.
Fragments.
And you had put in your report that you believed it had fallen out during when the victim drove away?
It's a possibility. There's a lot of possibilities.
So my question is, how would it have fallen out? How could you explain it falling out? Could you explain that to me?
It depends where the bullet hole or the projectile goes into a vehicle. There's several, a vehicle is not sealed. All sealed up, so there's not ever breathing or anything like that. So there's holes in it, and there's ways that, let's say like venting and that type of stuff for a vehicle. So when a vehicle is in motion, it moves. Right? It rocks, goes over bumps. That's why they have shock absorbers. So anything that's on top, it's just like when you accidentally leave your coffee on top of your vehicle and you drive off. It's a good chance it's going to fall off. And it's the same as a projectile on a vehicle also.
Okay. So how far down were the fragments that you found into the hole that was made in the Tesla?
It was located by another detective, but it was easy enough for us to retrieve.
So like it
I don't
inside the hole somewhere.
Yes.
But just so I understand, the bullet breaks apart, is that correct?
Yes.
And so maybe the majority fell out and those pieces were left inside.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how much of the bullet was taken apart or how much damage that bullet or projectile would have had.
Okay. But some of the pieces could be in there and the majority of it could fall out?
That's a theory, yes.
And it wouldn't be wedged in?
We didn't locate anything that was wedged in.
But that could have been due to just driving around the block because, like you said, the car jostles.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
If the car had not been in motion, then the bullet should have been intact. Is that correct?
No. When a bullet hits, it depends on the type of bullet, frangible or non, the make, the model. If it hits a solid object, bullets have different properties. So some will break apart a little easier than others. Some will go right through. It just depends on the make and the model of the bullets.
Okay. So no testing was done on this bullet to find out what kind of bullet it was?
The projectile.
Correct. I mean, no.
I did not send it for testing.
Okay. Is that something that could be found out?
What do you mean?
What kind of bullet it was from the fragments?
I believe there's a test that possibly does it.
Okay. And you didn't think that was necessary?
I was not the case detective on this.
So since those bullet fragments were not tested in any way, the markings on there that you had testified to yesterday that were copper were part of the jacket, is that correct?
The coloring?
Yes.
The color, yes.
So that's just from a visual, that's not from any kind of testing of the copper, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so just looking at
it. It's the color.
Okay, that color, copper color, could have been from the Tesla itself?
I didn't see any copper coloring on the outside of that Tesla. It was white in color.
Okay. And then when you said you canvassed the neighborhood, or the Gilbert Police Department canvassed the neighborhood, there was no camera coverage to your knowledge. Is that correct?
people I talked to did not have any. I believe there was camera footage found by other detectives or officers, yes.
Oh, there was?
Possibly, yes.
But you did not discover any?
No.
And you have never seen any?
No.
Okay. And have you been working on this case this whole time, or what was your involvement as far as from October 2nd to when you worked on this case?
The original call out I was part of, and then I was requested to execute the search warrant on the Ford F-150. And that was December 23rd.
And that kind of ended your dealings with this case?
Yes.
Okay. So all of the reports that you had written were in between that time frame?
Yes.
Okay. No more questions, Your Honor.
All right, redirect.
Detective, I'm going to start with sort of where we were just ending and go back to some issues from yesterday. In this Tesla, did you note damage to the molding where the window would have gone up into the frame of the Tesla?
Yes.
Can I have the ammo, please? Thank you. So we're looking here at Exhibit 39. So would it be fair to say that there's not a great seal anymore between where the window went up into the frame and the car itself?
That is correct.
And did you also view the glass itself?
Yes.
That was laying on the driveway?
Yes.
And did you also, Exhibit 46, note that little notch or divot in the glass itself?
Yes.
And was that sort of consistent with the location of where the window would have gone up into the frame of the vehicle?
That is correct.
So when you're talking about a seal of a window going up into the frame, does the fact that the molding was broken and that there's a divot in the glass and the glass was completely shattered impact whether or not all those fragments or pieces of that projectile might remain inside the Tesla?
There is a good chance they would fall out of the Tesla.
Because the seal is no longer the same as it once was, right?
Correct.
You were asked yesterday about the length of the bullet hole or the size of this bullet hole. Do you recall that?
Yes.
When you're talking about the A here, were you trying to measure from not just the damage of where the bullet started to impact or cause that concaveness in the frame, but just the actual hole itself?
Yes.
Does that still tell you the size of the bullet?
No.
That's just the damage that it caused as it entered into the frame of this Tesla?
That is correct.
You were asked yesterday about casings and fragments, and can we explain what a casing is, what a projectile is, and what fragments are?
Sure. A casing is what the bullet is contained in. That's where the black powder and the actual bullet itself is attached to. A casing is usually discarded after the bullet is fired out of the gun. And it could be caught. It depends on what kind of weapon there is. Revolvers actually keep the casings in as a circle. Rifles are known to could keep the casing inside until you eject it yourself the semi-automatic weapons which police use and which are more common. They have a semi-action. It will eject the casing out. The casing just holds the bullet. Once the bullet is fired from the gun, it comes out very, very hot. We're trying to explain is when it hits a certain item, it just depends on the integrity of the bullet itself. How strong is that bullet? Is it going to be strong enough to go through metal? Usually not. And so once it hits an item, it is compromised. The bullet is compromised and it makes fragments. It falls apart. And that's where the fragments come from. And that's what we found in this Tesla, with just fragments of the actual bullet.
Okay, so when we're talking about the fragments that you recovered, those pieces of the projectile after it broke apart and after it had first gone through or into the Tesla frame, this metal, and then broke apart, that's what you're talking about when you talked about the fragments that you recovered?
That is correct.
Now, the defendant asked you about casings and if you found any at the scene. Do you recall that line of questioning?
I do remember that.
If you were advised that the person firing the rifle was laying or lying in wait inside of the back of a Jeep, that only part of the barrel of that rifle came out the rear window, and then the rifle was fired, where would you expect that casing to land?
More than likely, it would still be inside that vehicle, the Jeep.
Okay, so you would not expect it to fly forward out of the Jeep and land out on the ground?
No.
The defendant asked you about if you saw a casing over by the pool. Would you expect, absent, I guess, a hole in the floor of the Jeep, to find the casing over there if it was still in the Jeep?
No.
So
never found the casing in it next to a pool.
But you wouldn't expect to find a casing over there, right?
No.
There was no evidence of anyone shooting over there?
Right.
And there would be no reason for a casing to be over there?
Correct.
So in this case, given the information you were given, were you surprised that you didn't find a casing?
No. It doesn't mean we don't look for the casing. We automatically look for the casings. But since it was inside of a vehicle, it's just like a drive-by shooting type of thing. We'll say once we pull the car over, the casings will be inside that vehicle, most likely. Then one or two might pop out if they have their gun outside the window. You know, something like that, the casing might. But usually we search, there was no casing found in this. So we determined it was most likely, more likely than not, inside that vehicle still.
And the casing was in the windowsill? Sorry.
Yeah, the casing was more likely than not inside that vehicle still.
Inside the Jeep still.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have no other questions for this witness, Your Honor.
Are there any questions from the jury? I don't see any. Sir, you can step down. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
If I may go get the next witness.
Go ahead.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.